In the last few weeks, we've been following Jesus on the road to the cross. And we've been walking with this kind of paradox that Jesus is a king. He is the king. He's the king of kings. But he's not a king like anyone else that we're used to. He's a king who spends his time with blind beggars and with dodgy accountants. He's a king whose mission is to be humiliated and tortured and killed. He's a king whose kingdom is real, but right now it is hidden. And we have to wait until the day when it's fully seen. But he is a king. He is a king. And in today's passage, as John mentioned at the start, it's that moment, the story we call Palm Sunday, where Jesus sets up for himself this royal parade. It's a coronation. And it is full of these deeply symbolic elements to show us what kind of king Jesus is. I don't know if you're into kind of our royal family, the UK royal family. I don't know if you watched the coronation a couple of years ago of King Charles. If you don't know what you're looking at, it just kind of looks like lots of bling, basically. But all the different bits, they kind of have meanings and symbols. So if you can see it there in his right hand on the left, he's got this scepter, and it has a cross right at the top, interestingly, to show that while he is a monarch, Jesus is the one who is the king over him. And he's got this kind of orb. And the crown, I didn't know this until recently, but apparently the crown weighs 2.5 kilograms. So it's really, apparently he only wears it at the coronation, then he's never wears it ever again. But it's meant to kind of, originally, it's meant to symbolize the heavy responsibility of being the monarch of a country. And he had this new emblem. You probably can't see the details in there, but apparently in there there's lots of different flowers to represent how he loves nature. And in particular, there's a rose, a thistle, a shamrock, and a daffodil. Anyone know what the significance of that might be? Yeah, brilliant. The four parts of the UK to show that he wants to be a king for the whole of the UK. Of course, if you went to a different culture, a different country, the symbols might be very different. This was the last coronation of a monarch in Thailand in 2017. And part of that was the new king took a bath as sort of ceremonially, as part of his coronation, to symbolise his need to be pure, to be purified, to take on his role. And as he went into the palace, he was given rice seeds and sesame seeds to represent the kind of the abundance that the people hope that his reign will bring. And Jesus' coronation is just like that. It's full of these symbols, but they're symbols from a very different culture for most of us, to our own culture. So we're going to have to do a bit of work this morning. As we dig into this passage, think, what is this saying in this cultural moment? What is Jesus saying about himself as he sets up this coronation? So Gay's going to read it for us, and then we'll dig into some of that. Thanks so much, Gay.
So Luke 19, verses 28 to 40. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you're untying it, say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out."
Thank you so much, Gay. I love that last line. Jesus says, if people weren't praising me, the stones would be crying out. If people were not celebrating this moment where King Jesus is arriving, literally, like, inanimate objects would grow a mouth and start shouting about Jesus. You know, the only possible fitting response to King Jesus is worship. He deserves all of our praise. He deserves us to celebrate him. And so this morning, we just want to see him freshly. So, you know, some sermons, they give you something to do when you go away. This morning, I think this passage, it just wants to kind of fill our hearts and stir us up right from the bottom of our feet all the way through our bodies to praise our King. So let's pray. Let's pray that God would help us with that. Father, thank you so much for King Jesus. Father, he is glorious and powerful and beautiful. And we want to have a fresh sight of him this morning. We want to see how your word shows us his glory. And we want to be stirred up to praise and celebrate and rejoice over him. Please may your spirit do that in us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Brilliant. Well, if you have got a Bible, do keep it open at this passage in Luke 19. And there's so many things, so many details we could talk about. But we're just going to focus in on two symbols. Two symbols and what they show us about Jesus, our King. And so the first one is this, the colt. As Gay read it, you might have been thinking, what is a colt? I've never heard of one of those before. It's something like that. Basically, it's a baby donkey. And you see in the story, as Jesus is coming up to this moment, this coronation that he's setting up for himself, he knows exactly what he wants to do. And he knows exactly how to achieve it. He sends these two guys and he says, as soon as you go in, there's the colt in the village. Just untie it, bring it back to me. Oh, and if anyone says, well, how come you've just walked up and untied this colt that doesn't belong to you? Just tell them the Lord needs it. And Jesus knows that that will be enough. I don't know how. I don't know whether these guys knew about Jesus, the owners of the colt, or whether Jesus just knew somehow that in that moment that the Spirit's power would mean they understood what was going on. But either way, Jesus predicts it to the letter, doesn't he? As Luke tells the story, Jesus predicts what's going to happen. And then it says in verse 32, those who were sent ahead found it just as he had told them. And sure enough, as they untie it, the people are like, why are you untying this colt? And Jesus, and they say, the Lord needs it. And that's enough. And they bring it back to Jesus and they mount Jesus onto it. And off he goes. And as he goes, people kind of take off their cloaks and their coats and they carpet the floor. It's kind of like a red carpet that they make as Jesus rides along. And the whole scene, the baby donkey, Jesus riding on it, the cloaks, it's echoing all sorts of Old Testament coronation scenes with kings riding into power. For anyone who knew the Old Testament, for anyone from a Jewish background, this is crystal clear. Here is your king. Okay, but that seems like a strange choice for a king, doesn't it? Not only is it a kind of baby, it's not that impressive. It says that no one has ever ridden it. Now, I don't know much about animals, but some of you know a lot more than me. I'm guessing this is a slightly risky choice for your sort of big royal parade moment. I don't think King Charles would have got on an animal that literally no one has ever ridden before. We're like, well, let's see how this goes. Why has Jesus picked this animal? Jesus has chosen it, remember? Jesus has set this whole thing up. Well, it's a symbol. It's a symbol that would have reminded everyone who saw it of a song of hope from the Old Testament. We're going to read some of it together. Let's read this. This is from Zechariah 9. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of the donkey. You see, this is by no means a random choice. Jesus is very deliberately taking this song, this promise of hope, and saying, here we go, riding into Jerusalem on a colt, the foal of the donkey. Your king is coming to you, righteous and victorious. Jesus is a king who is going to bring victory. But then see what the next verse says. I'll read this one. I'll take away the chariots from Ephraim, and that's another word for Israel, and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. This is not a victory of a warrior. This is not a king coming on a war horse with chariots, with battle bows. No, this is a victory of peace. And it's going to be a victory of peace that is so comprehensive that the country of Israel is going to decommission its whole military. That they're going to have 0% spending on their defense. Because they don't need it anymore. Get rid of the chariots, get rid of the war horses, get rid of the battle bow. Because this king has proclaimed peace, not just to Israel, but to all the nations. This king has brought peace from the river to the ends of the earth. You see, there is a day coming when Jesus' kingdom is fully, physically, visibly seen. And that day will be a day when people from every nation on this globe are united in peace. And there will be no armies, there will be no espionage. There will be harmony across the whole world. The cult shows that Jesus can unite nations in peace. And you know, no one else can do that. No person, no leader, no political system can do that. I don't know if you're the kind of person who follows the news, kind of pays much attention to sort of global affairs. I wouldn't pretend to understand all of it, but someone was sharing in our home group actually this week. Someone said, could you pray for me? Because sometimes when I read all this stuff on the news, it just makes me feel anxious. You know, it's easy to be a bit scared, to feel like this world is a mess and what can fix it? There is one person who can fix it. His name is King Jesus. And one day he will. One day he will proclaim peace to the nations in a way that doesn't squash our differences, doesn't make us kind of homogenous, but unites us with all our beautiful difference in harmony, in peace. Let's just take a moment just to praise Jesus in our hearts for that future kingdom that he will bring. And perhaps to bring any anxieties that we feel about our world and lay them before him. That's the first symbol, the cult. Jesus will unite nations in peace. That's the kind of king he is. And the second symbol is, it's a bit more subtle, but it is beautiful when we see it. And the second symbol is the moment, the time that Jesus has chosen to make this entrance. Because we know from other parts of the Bible that this moment is right before a festival called the Passover. It's about kind of 4 days away, maybe, a huge Jewish festival in Jerusalem. And at this very moment, on this very route that Jesus is walking up the Mount of Olives and then down towards Jerusalem, there would have been thousands and thousands of people making this pilgrimage for this festival. This picture doesn't show it super well, but this is from the Mount of Olives, looking down over Jerusalem. And this obviously isn't a pilgrimage from Jesus' day. But you get the idea. These crowds are flocking to celebrate, to remember the Passover. Many of us will know the story well. When God's people were slaves in Egypt, and God stepped in, and God told the Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And he refused, and he refused, and he refused. And God demonstrated his utter power and authority time after time after time, until finally, in the kind of final act of liberation, he took his people out of there and he set them free. Okay, so Jesus has picked this moment when everyone is remembering the Passover story, the Passover festival. And it says the crowd, as they see Jesus, that they're praising God for all the miracles that they'd seen. Okay, so the Passover is in everyone's heads when God performed these mighty miracles and then he liberated his people from slavery. And now here is Jesus, King Jesus, riding into Jerusalem at the Passover festival, and they've seen all these miracles that he has performed. Do you see the pattern that they're spotting? They're remembering the Passover, and now they're saying, well, Jesus is doing it again. We've seen all these demonstrations of his power and authority, and now here he comes at the Passover. He's going to bring liberation again. And so they sing that the psalm that we read a bit together at the start, from Psalm 118, they sing, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." That psalm is a Passover song. So these pilgrims, they have been singing this song year after year after year as they walk this road. But you know, this time they are singing it with fresh zeal and a kind of enthusiasm that they never have before, because they're seeing the King. They're saying, here he is, blessed is the King who is coming right now in the name of the Lord to liberate us. Okay, but the question is, liberation from what? And if you know how the story unfolds, there's a shadow over this passage, because this crowd is going to turn on Jesus in just a few days. They are hoping for political liberation. They're hoping for the king on the war horse who is going to kick out the Romans and bring the battle bow. But think about Jesus' miracles. Think about those demonstrations of power and authority that he has shown them. Who are they against? What enemies is Jesus fighting? His miracles weren't against the Romans, were they? He's been making blind people see. He's been making paralyzed people walk. He's been reaching down into the depths of death itself and lifting people back out of it. He's been sending demons packing. He's been plundering the territory of the devil. And he's been forgiving people. Jesus says that is just as much a miracle as anything else he's been doing. He's been healing and restoring our broken relationship to God, our Father. Do you see the enemies that this king has come to fight are sickness and the devil and death and sin? And now as he heads down into Jerusalem, he's going to enact his final victory. He is going to bring final, full liberation from those enemies. And he's going to do it by hanging on a cross. See, this is what we're celebrating over the next week. As we come to Easter, we're celebrating the liberation, the freedom from our most fundamental enemies that Jesus brings us. Liberation from the power of sin. As Jesus takes every last bit of wrong that we have done and he bears it all and he takes the cost of it all and he buries it in the grave and he says, "It's gone, you are free." Liberation from the devil. Because what can he accuse us of anymore? When he comes to tell us of the wrongs that we've done, of how we don't deserve to be in God's family, Jesus says, "I have paid for it. It is finished. You are mine." And liberation from death. As he removes its sting. As death for us no longer means fearing God's judgment, but it means looking ahead to indestructible life, just like Jesus proved when he burst out of the grave 3 days later. This is the kind of king that Jesus is. He is a liberator. He brings us freedom, not from any human power or political power, but freedom from our most dark enemies. Freedom from sin and the devil and death. Let's take a moment again and just worship him in our hearts. As we come towards a finish, I just want to ask, how are we going to respond this morning? As we see this picture of Jesus, our King, a King who can unite nations, who can unite this globe in peace. A King who can give us freedom from all of our worst enemies. Maybe this is all quite new to you. Maybe you've been coming along for a little bit, you're exploring, you're finding out about Jesus. That is fantastic. You know, this is not just for religiously people. This is not just for people who knew all those stories that I've been talking about, who already understood those symbols. This is for you. Jesus is the king, and he wants to be your king. A king who can bring you freedom like nothing else. And you can come to him to receive that. If that's you, I just love to encourage you to talk to someone about it after today. Come and chat to me or John if you want to, or anyone that you see or you've come with. Talk to someone about what you're making of this Jesus. Maybe you've been around at church for a while, and if you're really honest, what you are looking for, what you are hoping for from Jesus is actually something else. Maybe a bit like this crowd. It's nice to be here, but the stuff that I've been talking about is a bit different to what you expected, what you hoped for from Jesus. Maybe what you've really been seeking is some good moral teaching, a part of your life to have a kind of a sort of spiritual focus in it, or a spiritual experience. Maybe just a sort of a gathering point to have some community, to get to know some more people. You know, Jesus offers us all of those things that I just said. But he is so much more. He is so much more, and he offers so much more. He is nothing less than the King of Kings. And the only way he will let us come to him is as our King. Because that is who he is. But you know, when we do, when we accept him as King over our lives, what he can give us is so much more than good advice or some more friends. Jesus really can fix your broken relationship with God. Jesus really can take you through death and into life which goes on forever. Please don't kind of settle into treating Jesus as something less than that. Okay, and what about for those of us who have received Jesus as our King, who have received this liberation and this freedom? Well, I think the crowd are a wonderful model for us, actually. Do you see in verse 37, they joyfully praise God in loud voices.